Rising for the jubilee that is just ahead. In the twinkling Alrighty. Excuse me. Alright. Good morning, everybody. This is Brother Brandon coming to you live from Fort Smith, Arkansas, with another Fishers of Men video broadcast. Good to be here with you today. I still have just a little bit of this junk left over, but I am getting a lot better. So pray for me if you will today. Today's going to be the last broadcast for a week, as next week is revival. Actually, starting tomorrow is revival. I will be preaching September 12th, Thursday, at First Free Will Baptist in Mulberry. If any of you live near there, I'd like to welcome you out, not just for my night, but just even if you're able to make it any of those nights, please feel free to come out, and we'd like to fellowship with you. Get to know you, shake hands with you. So that, and First Free Will Baptist in Mulberry, their revival starts Monday, and but I'll be attending my church tomorrow for our revival. It'll be Sunday, Monday, and Tuesday. So, next week is Revival Week. So, because of Revival Week, there will be no broadcast on Tuesday or a week from today. So, this will be the last one in about a week or so. About a week or two. Because of that. So, but it's great to be here with you today. And, I know there might be some people might stagger on later here, and that's okay. but hopefully, today's lesson will be a blessing to you. And actually, I think today's lesson would probably be a good way to sort of kick off Revival Week. So, because there's some things we're going to talk about today about Abram and Lot. And so this is the ninth part of our contention series. This will probably be like video 11 in the series, but this is actually part 9 of that series. And we're still going. It's still going. It's amazing to see what God's doing with this series. So, we're going to be talking about Abram today, Abram and Lot, and kind of the spout that they had. And we're going to show you what Abram's response to that is, and what he did. And it really should serve as a demonstration of how we should act as Christians. And, excuse me. Woo. Excuse me. So, but really, this should demonstrate on how we should act as Christians. And if there's any time that we need to know how to behave ourselves, it's now. All right? Hang on a sec. Let me pull up some scripture here. Actually, here's what we're going to do. Okay, 1 Timothy chapter 3, verse 15. If you know anything about 1 Timothy 3, 1 Timothy 3 is the chapter of the qualifications of a bishop, which we actually gone through in this series. I think it's like part 2 or 3. I think it's like part 2 or 3. We've done it a while back. Now, here's the deal. 1 Timothy 3, verse 15, it says, "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth." Okay? Now, why is this important? Because in that series, I talked to you about how the qualifications are characteristics of who Christ is. And we gone through that to show you how a Christian should behave. How should a Christian behave and act? And we see here in 1 Timothy 3:15 that Paul is writing to Timothy that he's writing these things so that Timothy will know how to behave himself in the house of God. Now, why is that important? Okay. It's important because how you behave in the house of God should be the same way you behave in the world. You may not be of the world, but you are living in the world. And you ought to learn how to behave yourself. How we conduct ourselves in church should be the same as how we conduct ourselves in the world. And so I'm going to show you what Abraham did today on how he acted towards his own family, because Lot was family, about the dispute that Abram and Lot had and how Abraham behaved himself. Now, if there's any time that any Christian needs to learn how to behave themselves the same as how they behave themselves in church, should be now. In other words, if there's any time that a Christian should learn how to behave themselves in church and learn how to behave themselves out in the world, is right now. Why? Because we, in this nation, we are one election away from having communism in a we're one election away of being a communist nation. And do you know why? Because people have taken their eyes off who Christ is. People have taken their eyes off the Word of God. People have disregarded on how to behave themselves out in the world. They go to church, they act one way, and then they get out into the world and they act completely different. How you live your life matters. Your life may be the only meaningful exposure to God and Jesus that a person may and will only have. This is why how you conduct yourself is important. This is why how you live is important. Christians need to quit being hypocrites, and they need to start acting the way that they do in church, they need to start acting and behaving in the world like they do in church. Now, I know that sounds harsh, and I'm not trying to harsh anyone's mellow. But we need to get back. We need to refocus on who Christ is. As a matter of fact, what I'm going to be preaching for revival is a message entitled, "What's Your Focus?" And that message is going to have an extremely important, it's an extremely important message for today. And so, I'm going to try to record it if I can. If not, I'll just re-preach it. Okay? But people need to learn how to act and behave. And the best way to do that is to open up your Bibles and read. When pastors preach one thing in their church, but they go out and they start doing things by contention, by disputing, with no love, but with yokes of bondage. They're not acting the same way as they are in church. No wonder why the lost and dying world has no respect for Christians anymore. Because pastors live almost like a double life. They live one way and behave one way in church. But then when it comes to soul winning, they go out and dispute and they start doing things that are contrary to what the Bible says. They get contentious with sinners. How you behave in church should be how you should behave in the world. Simple as this. Amen. Now, if you have your Bibles, turn with me to Genesis 13. Genesis 13. All right, Genesis 13, verse 1. It says, hang on. It says, And Abram went out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and Lot with him into the south. Excuse me. Now, and Abraham was very rich in cattle and silver and in gold. And he went on his journeys from the south even to Bethel, unto the place where his tent had been at the beginning between Bethel and Hai, unto the place of the altar which he had made there at the first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Now, here's where we start. Here's where the rubber meets the road. And Lot also, which went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together, for their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdmen of Abram's cattle and the herdmen of Lot's cattle, and the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled then in the land. You see, they had such great substance. They had such great substance that those substances that they had caused a contention and strife between Abram and Lot. Which comes to show you that having a whole bunch of things isn't what's important. Excuse me. You know that possession and possessions of good things can cause strife between family members. Jealousy can cause strife between family members. Petty reasons can be the reason why you've got contention amongst family. Now, with this strife, I want you to look at what Abram said. And Abram said unto Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee, and between my herdmen and thy herdmen, for we be brethren. Did you get that? There's so much there. Let's get into it. First off, Abram said to Lot, let there be no strife, I pray thee. What does this show you? What this shows you is Abram was a peacemaker. He was a peacemaker, wasn't he? Now, let's see. Matthew 5:9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. You know what's interesting about Abraham? By this point, God had already called him. Now, why do you think there was strife other than the fact that Lot and Abram had a lot of possession? Why do you think there could have been strife? Here's why. Okay, Genesis 12. All right. Genesis 12, verse 1, it says, "Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will shew thee. And I will make of thee a great nation, and I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed." So Abram departed as the Lord had spoken unto him, and Lot went with him. And Abram was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. And Abram took Sarai his wife and Lot his brother's son, and all their substance that they had gathered. Now, at this point, God called Abram. He hasn't had a name change yet, but we know that God called Abram. He called him, and he did as the Lord commanded, except when we take a look, he says, God says to Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred. What does that mean? God wanted Abram to take his wife and go leave his family and his family's house unto a land that he will shew thee. You know what happened? Abram, and his call, was disobedient. He was disobedient because he took Lot, his brother's son. He was not supposed to do that. He was supposed to leave Lot behind, and he didn't. Which comes to show you that Abram must have had a love for Lot. He loved him. He cared for him. He was family. But because Abram was disobedient to what God said and took Lot, there was strife. There's strife that occurred. But I want you to notice that, again, Abram had already been called. And we automatically see the fruit of him being called. Why? Because Abram wanted peace between Lot and himself. All right. Now, Romans chapter 12, verse 18. If it be possible, as much as lieth in you, live peaceably with all men. Abram was trying to be a peacemaker. He was trying to be a peacemaker. He was wanting peace between him and Lot. Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee. Abram was wanting peace. Abram was a peacemaker. He was trying to live peaceably with his nephew. Now, verse 9. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. If thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right hand. Or if thou depart to the right hand, then I will go to the left. Now, so because Abraham was trying to bring peace, he recognized that they had to go their separate ways. Now, I want you to notice his attitude. I want you to notice how meek Abraham was. Abram gave Lot a choice. He said, if thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Or if thou depart to the right, then I'll go to the left. We see how meek Abram was. Abram is a type and picture. Is a type and picture of God the Father. Can I tell you something? Lot is kind of like a picture of us being rebellious. Always wanting to do things our way. Lot is the one who believed, but he wanted to have it both ways. He wanted to be in God and yet live like the world. You know what that got him? Where that got him was his testimony was shot. His testimony was shot. But did Abram ever give up on Lot? Nope. As a matter of fact, we'll probably get into, the next time we get into this, we're going to probably go through Genesis 14 as well. Because I want you to see what Abram did. Abram did not give up on Lot. He didn't. But he gave him a choice. You see, that's how meek God is. God is so meek. He gives you a free will. He gives you a choice. God doesn't stop you. But he gives you a choice. All right. Deuteronomy 30, verse 19. I call heaven and earth to record this day against you that I have set before you life and death, blessing and cursing. Therefore choose life that both thou and thy seed may live. You see, God gives you a choice. That's how meek God is. God is so meek that he gives you a choice. Can I ask you a question? if God is so meek that he gives us a choice, then why aren't his ministers as meek? Why aren't God's ministers the same way? Well, the answer to that is because a lot of God's ministers think that it's okay to be contentious, that it's biblical to do so. And they'll try to even justify it by saying, well, God did this and this and this, but God is never contentious. He is meek. And he gives you a choice. He gives you a choice. So we see Abram is a type and picture of God the Father. Lot is a type and picture of us. And Abram says, well, if you go to the left hand, I'll go to the right. Or if you go to the right, I'll go to the left. You see, Abram was not a dictator. Abram was not a dictator. He was not one to force Lot to choose. He just plainly gave Lot a choice. What do you want? If you go this way, I'll go that way. So you see just how meek Abram was. You see, Abram knew how to behave himself and conduct himself in the world. Abram should be a picture of how we ought to live. You know why? Because Abram's life reflected God's character. The question I have for you is, does your life reflect God's character? I'm not trying to be mean, but I'm not fooling around. Does your life reflect God's character? If not, then you need to examine yourself. You need to repent. Abram was of like passions, yes, but he had such faith in God that he was called a friend of God. He had such faith that his life reflected God's character. Now, we see a contrast here. Abram and Lot. Abram is a type and picture of who God is, but he's also a type and picture of a Christian whose life reflects who God is and gives God glory by how he lives his life. Regardless of the sins that he commits, he was full of faith. His life reflected the character of who God was. Or you've got Lot, who is a type and picture of us who think that we can have it both ways. And we end up shooting our testimony because of it. Who are you going to choose to be like? Abram or Lot? Now, verse 10. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, like the land of Egypt, as thou comest unto Zoar. Then Lot shows him all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves the one from the other. Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot pitched in the cities of the plain, and pitched his tent toward Sodom. Excuse me. Do you know what happens when you think you can have it both ways? You start pitching your tent toward perversions. Why do you think God's people get wrapped up in perverted stuff? Because they think, we think that we can have it both ways. That we can have one foot in God and one foot in the world. So now can you see why Lot represents... excuse me. Do you see why? Lot represents one that chooses to have it both ways, or tries to have it both ways. And we see here in verse 13 that he chose... By the way, what did he choose? Lot chose the well-watered plains. The goodly land. Thinking that God will bless that. Thinking that God was blessing them. But that's a mistake. That's a mistake, brothers and sisters. Excuse me. That is a mistake. Do you know why? Just because something may be well watered doesn't mean that God is behind it. Think about the all these churches that have huge numbers. Excuse me. Think about all these churches that have huge numbers. And you get people that will constantly go and be faithful to church. Do you think God's behind those mega churches? No. But brothers and sisters, do not think that an increase of worldly stuff is God's means of blessing. Just because a church has more does not mean God is blessing it. Alright. But Lot chose a well-watered plain. Do you think God was behind that? Do you think God was blessing that? No. An increase does not mean godliness. As a matter of fact, you'll see these increases in mega churches, and yet they're not even godly. These people will live it up in sin. And those mega churches are the very ones who think they can live like a bunch of devils. Now you'll notice that Lot, the Bible calls Lot a just man. And he chose a well-watered plain. But God was not behind that. He wasn't. That wasn't the blessing of God. You know how they say that the grass is greener on the other side? And what happens when you get to the other side? It's not as greener as he thought it was it? Well, I'll tell you what. The way that Lot chose, that eventually led him and his two daughters out of Sodom because of the sin in Sodom. So just because the grass may seem to be greener on the other side doesn't make it greener. Yet this is the path that Lot chose, and Abram went the other way. But just because Lot chose this, and he got himself in trouble, does not mean that Abram ever gave up on him. Abram never gave up. Never gave up. He never gave up on Lot. Lot was family, and he was actually, Abram was very concerned. Very, very concerned about Lot. But Lot's decision put him towards perversion. Verse 13, it says, "But the men of Sodom were wicked and sinners before the Lord exceedingly." Exceedingly means, here's the line, and if you go over that line, you're exceeding the line. The men of Sodom were exceeding the line. Their sin was great before the Lord. Which is why the Lord had to destroy Sodom and Gomorrah. Now, I want you to notice something. God renews his covenant with Abram. Verse 14. "And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes, and look from the place where thou art northward and southward and eastward and westward. For all the land which thou seest to thee will I give it and thy seed forever." So, even though God was not behind the strife between Lot and Abram, God allowed it to happen for the good of Abram. All right? God allowed it to happen for the good of Abram. Romans 8:28, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose." Remember that in Genesis 12, Abram was called. God used the strife of Abram and Lot to have them separate Because God told Abram to leave his kindred and just take his wife and go. So now that Lot and Abram are separated, God then renews the covenant that he made with Abram. So, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. Then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in Hebron, and built there an altar unto the Lord. Alright, so what do we see? We saw that Abram disobeyed God by... We see that Abraham disobeyed God by taking Lot. God allowed a strife to happen between Abram and Lot so they can separate. Okay, so God allowed strife to happen between Abram and Lot so they can separate. And it was once they were separated and it was just Abram and his wife, then God renewed his covenant to Abram. So what does it come to show you? It comes to show you when God calls you to do something, be obedient. Success is not measured in numbers. It's measured by your faithfulness to God's will and God's plan. When you're faithful to God's plan, and when you're faithful to God's will, things will fall into place the way it should be. Just remember that delayed obedience is still disobedience. Abram should have never taken Lot. He should have left Lot where he was and just been obedient. If Abram left Lot where he was, there probably wouldn't be strife between Lot and Abram, because Lot wouldn't have been with him. Because Abram took Lot, God allowed strife to happen so they can separate. Abram took a shortcut thinking it would be faster, and it took him on a longer path. But God fixed it and got Abram on the right path. And I'm sorry, this thing's cutting in and out. I don't know why it is, but I'm almost done here. Matter of fact, I think we'll just wrap it up here. So, where is it? So, what's the deal? The deal is, when God tells you to do something, you do it the first time. Don't delay it. Don't try to take a shortcut. You try to take a shortcut, God will just bring you right back on the right path again. And it may involve some pain, because it may involve in separating yourselves from something. It doesn't do anyone any good to do things your way and force God's hand, because it just causes pain and hurt. It's better for you to do it God's way. But even in the midst of Abram's sin, Abram was kind and he was gentle and he was meek towards Lot. He wasn't rude, he wasn't cruel, but he was loving, and he showed grace, he showed humbleness, he showed meekness. And that, brothers and sisters, is something that you need to exhibit in your lives, because it is by this, these things are characteristics of who God is. Amen. So the question I have for you today is this: Does your life exhibit who Christ is? Does your life glorify who Christ is? Does your life exhibit faith like Abram? Abram was a good example. We ought to follow in his footsteps. Amen. I'll leave with this. Jesus says, if you were the children of Abraham, you would have done the works of Abraham. And the works of Abraham was the works of faith. And the things that he did exemplified his faith. So I just want to encourage you with that today. Let your works exemplify your faith in Christ. Amen? So, anyways, that's all I got. Lord willing, I'm not sure where we're going to go. We might get into Genesis 14 next time. And I'm going to show you how and why Abram never gave up on Lot. Which comes to show you that you may be praying for somebody. You may be witnessing to somebody. But never give up on them. You may have to separate yourselves from people. You may have had to keep distant from people. But don't give up on them. Be like Abram. Pray for them. Love at them at a distance. But don't give up on them. And I know that is a lesson I need to learn personally. Not to give up on people. And so I'm going to, hopefully, Lord willing, I'm going to show you. We're going to take you through Genesis 14. And we're just going to keep trucking along. And we're going to go through Genesis 14. Hopefully it'll be a blessing to you. All right? So that's what we're going to do in a couple weeks. Now, a week from Tuesday, we'll get into Luke 22. And that will be a week from Tuesday. And 2 weeks from today, we'll get into Genesis 14. Genesis 14 is where we get into, all right? So pray for me. Pray for my video. Pray that all this information is intact. And pray that God would use it, and pray that God would be glorified as a result of this. Amen. So, with that said, I love you guys. God bless you. You guys have a great day. Have a great day in church tomorrow. And remember to be a hearer and doer of the Word of God. Amen. Be a hearer and doer of the Word of God, that ye may be true worshipers of your Father in heaven. Amen. So with that said, I love you guys. God bless you. Have a great weekend. Have a great day in church tomorrow. Have a great week next week. And we'll see y'all in about a week or two, all right? I love you guys. Love you guys. God bless you. See ya. God bless.